But it might be like a couple. I wanted this to be Shidduchim 1. Maybe there'll be a Shidduchim 2 eventually. We'll see. If I don't get like shouted down or whatever. But we'll get started. There's a lot to talk about in Shidduchim, right? So, traditionally, like we said, I remember I had friends in the Mir. I was actually in the Mir. But they were in Reb Elia Baruch Finkel's Atzal Shir. He was known, he was a nephew, he was a grandson of the original Rosh Hashiva. So he gave, everyone would try and stay. People always go away for Shabbos in the Mir, but Chai Sara, all the married guys, all the guys thinking about getting married, and all the guys who want to think about being in Shidduchim, they all stayed that Shabbos. And he would give a shmuz that went on for like 2.5 hours or something. Not recorded because it was Shabbos, so you had to like be there. Otherwise, you could never get it. And there was always like hawk afterwards, you know, from everyone there. I heard his son keeps the tradition going today, if you want to go, but it's in Yiddish. But the Rabbi Elephant Shlita does have also, I think this week, you have to go, you have to find out. Maybe if, you know, if we get Rabbi Wagshaw, maybe we get Rabbi Elephant Dorset to come here and give a shulis, we'll see. But shout out for the 4th years. Anyway, so I wanted to share with you a little bit of what I heard from Rabbi Elia Baruch. He said like this. He said that there was a story of a guy who one time was, he was driving, I think from Yerushalayim to Bnei Brak. And you know, they call it the trampiata. That means, tramp means you're trying to get a ride in, I don't know, Arabic or something. But, because so you stand right by the Knesset Le'ir over there, where there's the last bus stop right outside Yerushalayim, and you put out your hand and you try and get a ride. And there's a lot of people always standing there and they're not waiting for buses. So, you pick them up, and this guy was like, okay, I'm going to Bnei Brak. So if he was looking out there, and he saw some older person, and he asked him if he's going to Bnei Brak. He said, I'm going to Bnei Brak, but I'm going to this and this place, and I can't be a minute late, so I'm willing to take you up to that point. The guy said, fine. He got in the car, an older yid, they're schmoozing the whole way. He gets like to Bnei Brak, and the guy's like, you know, I'm an older person. It's a little bit hard. If you could drop me off like closer to where I am. The guy's like, I told you, I don't have any time. I am not waiting. I can't. What you call it? And so he was quiet. And then like a few minutes later, he asked again. He said, if you say this to me one more time, I'm going to take you all the way back. And he said it one more time. And he drove him all the way back to Yerushalayim. He dropped him off at the Trampiata. And he said, find someone else who, you know, likes what you have, you know, your ideas of getting a ride. Kitzer, that was a few months later. This guy gets engaged. And big simcha, everyone's there. And suddenly the Zayda walks in. And this is a true story. I mean, Rabbi Yavar said it was true. And suddenly, like, the Kala was standing with the Chassan, and he sees this guy walk in, and, like, his face, like, just, like, drops a little bit. She's like, what's the matter? It's like, oh, nothing. And I don't know if during or after or something, they, like, she asked her grandfather, you know my Chassan? He's like, no, never met him before. And it was just, like, too, you know... The kids are, they did a little bit more research, and the grandfather opened up, and the shidduch was over. I don't know if the guy's still looking for a shidduch or not, but if anyone has a sister. The kids are,
make sure you find out.
The kids are, Rav Elia Baruch said, you know what pshat is? This guy went all the way to Bnei Brak, and then like a jerk, brought the guy all the way back. So what Hashem do? Hashem took him all the way out. He went out on all his dates and dates and dates. He was getting to the point of climax, like he's getting engaged. He got engaged. And Hashem's like, goodbye. And go all the way back to square one. And it's a scary thing. But people, you know, I don't know if anyone is holding in this room by Mama Shidduchim or getting closer, but realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many different reasons. You know, they there's this like cliche line, like you're one step closer to your Basheret, right? After all the girls in town, and then all the girls after town, and then the girls that you actually dated, and then now you're closer and closer, right? So it's true. And in Shemayim, there were like 10 different girls that the Malach brought to you, and you said no, or you said maybe, and then you said no, right? So they all got no's in the end of the day. So you have to go through them. I don't know if any of that's... You ever heard this before? Sounds nice, right? It sounds nice. For sure, it's Min HaShemayim. It is Min HaShemayim. But you have to know why it's Min HaShemayim. For this guy, Rebbe Eliyahu Baruch Hussein, because you acted in that way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent you certain tikkunim. So I definitely suggest that, you know, we try not to drive people back to Yerushalayim, or just realize that the greater we become ourselves, the less kind of tikkunim we have to go through. And in Mitzvah Shem, we should all be zoicha to find our bashets easy and quick, and we should have that clarity. So, with that in mind, that was the introduction. So, we get to our parsha. Now, Avram Avinu, after bearing Sarah, after coming back from the Akedah, he calls in Eliezer, Avram Zokein Baba Yomim, and he says to him, Simno Yodcha Tachas Yerechi. He wanted him to swear on his Mila, which was the most special Kaddish thing to him, and he was appointed as a shliach to go to back to Haran to Avram's family to try and find a shidduch for Yitzchak. Now, had Yitzchak got married a little bit younger, like Shemana Esrei L'chuppah, like everyone here, and he would have had kids, then the whole Akedah thing, maybe he would have died, but Avram would have already had a perpetuation. So what? Why did he wait? What was he waiting for? He was 37, according to Pashupshari. He was 37 when he had the Akedah, and then he got married at 40. So why was he waiting so long? So at the end of last week's parsha, the pasuk tells us that Vayhi Achrei Advar Me'ila, after this, after the whole Akedah, Vayugad Avram Lemar, Hine Yolda Milka Gam Hi Banim L'Nachar Achicha. Milka has begot children, and it goes through a whole list. There's Keshav, there's Chazav, there's Vesual, Yolad, there's Rivka. And Vesual has given birth to Rivka. So Rashi tells us that the whole point of all these psukim is to tell us Bisrei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shenolda Rivka Bas Zugai V'zeh Dvarim Ha'ele, that the pasuk is telling us that right now, after the Akedah, that's Dafka when Rivka was born. So Pasha Pshat is that Avram Avinu was waiting for Rivka to be born. Until now, he didn't see any Zivug on the horizon, and therefore he didn't send Eliezer or anyone to go get a Shidduch for Yitzchak. But now he heard Yitzchak was born. So there's actually a very, very interesting Zayar, which I don't know if anyone's heard it before, but the Zayar says that Yitzchak actually was born with a female neshama. Anyone heard this? Yeah. So he was born with a female neshama. Now, that doesn't work so well if you try and marry a female with a female neshama. So physically, it's a guy and a girl, Baruch Hashem, but In the spiritual realms, you also need a female and male neshama to bring a child into the world. And here that wouldn't work because Yitzchak had some sort of female neshama in him, and then he would marry another girl, they wouldn't be able to have kids. So what happened? At the time of the Akedah, when Yitzchak was on the altar and he actually was about to die, his neshama left him. And the Zohar says that he died spiritually and a new neshama came into him. That neshama, Baruch Hashem, was the neshama of the Zachar. And where did his female neshama go? Into Rivka. So he married himself. A little bit trippy. But, Lamaisa, there was now a female neshama, and there was a male neshama, and Baruch Hashem, they were able to get married. And that's why his bas zivug only happened right now. So sometimes you think, like, this is the worst thing for me. Avram thinks he's wiping out Klal Yisrael by taking Yitzchak to the Akedah. But in reality, what was happening was he was giving Yitzchak a new life in which now he's going to be able to have children. Until now, he wasn't able to have children. So they say a story, I think it's with Rabbi Gamliel. Maybe, you know, Reb Chaim or one of the other Gedolim that see other things in this world. And there was a guy who was older. He was like an older single and he was having trouble finding Shidduchim. And he went to this big tzaddik and he asked him, why am I taking so long to find shidduchim? Shidduch, just one. So he said, because she hasn't been born yet. He's like 35. So 6 months later, he got married to, got engaged to a giyaris. So Baruch Hashem, she hadn't been born yet. And then she was born, so she was able to get married. So pshat is that, you know, the tzaddikim see different things on the radar. And Baruch Hashem, Yitzchak was able to find his zivug after he went through the Akedah, and that wasn't really possible until that point. So Reb Elio Dessler asks that according to our modern day of dating, which it's like, you know, you go out, you feel the chemistry, you feel the excitement, the love, which you're told, you're not allowed to say I love you while you're
there.
Meshicha. Okay, fine. The pull. Yeah? So if that's what marriage is all about, like, why are you sending Eliezer? Like, Eliezer might, like, have a checklist of what exactly Yitzchak's looking for. Like, he's looking for a girl who's not a Canaanite, and she must be, you know, a Balas Midas. And I'm sure he had a list, right? Every guy has a list. So what about the chemistry? What about the love? The Meshicha? What's going on? Right? Don't you have to feel that yourself? How could you send someone else? I mean, the Rosh Hashiva like sometimes talks about in Shir, like, you don't have to show up to your wedding. You could have a guy standing on the chuppah is just whatever, but you stand on the chuppah, you say Hariyat Mukadesh just to my friend, and it's good. Has anyone ever been to such a wedding? No. Okay, but today we do the chuppah right afterwards, so you need the guy to be there for the chuppah. But the Kiddushin, you really don't need to be at that wedding. So, has anyone ever done that? No, because you want to feel you're getting married. You want to feel the chemistry. You can't send a friend on a date for you, right? Some people say, yeah. There was a guy who showed up to a date, and she was like, she's a little bit chubby, and she like had to squeeze through the door, and he's like, my friend said he couldn't make it tonight. Okay. So you could have friends like going on the date for each other, but not really. But what's pshat? Why is Eliezer finding a wife? Doesn't the chassan have to know and feel that this is the person I want to marry? And just another question on top of that: if Avram was already told at the time of the Akedah that Rivka, the bas zuga of Yitzchak, has been born, so what does he have to send Eliezer to go on this whole search? And Eliezer has to make this whole prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help me find the right one. And he goes through if she's going to bring the water and feed me and the camels. You know who it is. It's Rivka, Bas Pesuel. We already have a name. So why do we have to go through the whole ceremony, the whole test? I like to say over stories, not read stories, but this was just in this book called The Guide to Shidduchim by Reb Dolinsky Zatzal. And just some of the lines are good, so I just wanted to quote some of the lines over here. This is a famous Belgian couple. I don't know if they were Jewish or not, but they were a story about them. They were celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary, and a lot of the family had flown in to be together, and they're going to make a whole celebration. And one of the grandchildren said, I went out with grandmother and my wife like a day or two before the actual celebration, and she revealed something that I'd never heard before. When your grandfather and I were wed, our parents arranged the marriage. That happened often in those days. I was shown a picture of your grandfather, but did not meet him until a week before the wedding. These are not Hasidim, and they're not from. Okay? You might say we kind of married a stranger. And she said, really, that could have been okay. But there would not have been anything painful about it if your grandfather had not been in love with someone else. Okay, so they're like, Grandma, it's been 50 years since that time. You think like he's probably let go of it, right? So she said, no, he wanted very much to marry the other girl, but his father was not flexible. As a dutiful son, he finally yielded. And I'm sure throughout the years, he must have thought of the life he could have led. So, and then she added that she married, this other lady married one of Belgium's leading bankers. Her picture was in the newspaper year after year. You see her leaving to the theater or the opera. And I don't think, you know, your grandfather's always been in love with her, but I think that, you know, he sometimes thinks, you know, I could have had her. And you imagine that after 50 years of marriage, this is what the grandmother's thinking and revealing for like the first time to her grandkids. That's like pretty shaky. Well, the night of the celebration, the mayor of, I don't know, Antwerp or whatever, the mayor came and he got up and he said, at this type of occasion, I want to call on the groom that he should, you know, offer a toast to the bride of 50 years. He calls him up and grandfather gets up. And he said, the mayor suggested I offer this toast to my wife, but I hope she will understand if I offer it to someone else. I looked towards grandmother. Her eyes were squeezed shut in a kind of pain. He said, I've always had trouble like expressing myself. Still, I would like to offer this toast not to my wife, but to my wife's parents and my parents. It was their wisdom that brought us together. I want to thank them from the bottom of my heart. For a wife has given me the richest and happiest and best life a man could ask. And he said, they looked at the grandmother and suddenly like she just started smiling like, you know, such shine, such radiance. And that just like changed 50 years of she's thinking that her husband really likes someone else. And instead he had thanked his parents for this arranged marriage. So I'm not, you know, saying we should all go Hasidus right now. But there's a point over here. The Torah goes through an entire parsha and then a repetition of Eliezer trying to teach us how we approach Shidduchim. The Torah is not just storytelling. This is the Torah is giving us Mahalach. And the Mahalach is that you could send a Shliach. Eliezer could be the right one. Well, Hepech, Reb Desso says that the worst person to choose your shidduch is you, because you're the most negeah bedavar. Like, they say this about so many guys, like, he's probably going to marry the first one that likes him, you know? Or the first one that he, you know, he just goes out with and she likes him and she's beautiful and done, right? What happened to that whole list? Whatever, it works. You'll explain how she fits into all those things, right? So, like, I think we all know this. We all know that, okay, there's things that girls also fall for guys, but we're very easily meshichad by good looks, and you know, she's cute, she's fun. And therefore, Reb Desso says, it's really, you're the worst guy. You're the worst guy to pick a shidduch for yourself. So, that's why we don't, like, do the Geisha methods of finding some sort of shidduch. Right, we have Rabbi Grimet here at the Mitzvah Shem in the right time. If you didn't meet someone on the plane or on a bus or somewhere else, and it was just like L'shem Shemayim, like, I could say something personal, whatever, the recorder. You know, we always like hope like we're going to find our own shidduch, like we don't have to go through Rabbi Grimet or something like that. It's just like, you know, Rabbi Grimet Lamais is a Shem Shemayim, and he's our yeshiva shatchan, but there's some of these, like, every zman, there's, like, the Lakewood shatchanim outside, and who's going over to them, and, like, all that garbage. And you just hope, like, you know, Hashem, she'll be on the plane, like, you know, an extra over, and then, like, whatever, just the stewardess will be the shatchan or something, right? So, you know, I was always hoping it would work out that way. And I remember I had he's not modern Orthodox, but he was becoming frumer, and then he, Baruch Hashem, he got married to a nice frum girl. But he asked me, like, I was 19, he's like, what if you met a really good girl, and, like, she wanted to talk to you and, like, go out with you, and, like, I never had a good answer for him. What I'm saying is, Baruch Hashem, it never happened. And if you don't put yourself in that situation and go to enough mixed meals and, you know, hang out in the right places, so then it won't happen. I'm sorry, but it's true. But if you just hang out in the right places, you'll never have that question. But his question was like, she's 19, you're 19, it's like you're past Shmoneh Esrei, and like, you know, you'll just keep the connection. So when you're ready to get married, Chas Shalom, I don't want to miss my Shidduch, you know. Shem Shemayim. So I didn't have a good answer for him, but Baruch Hashem, it never happened until I was flying to LA to go out with my first date, and there was a girl sitting right across the aisle from me, and I even got a ride with her to Los Angeles because they couldn't rent cars, you know, 21, you had to, yeah, whatever, it was hot. Once I got to the city, I could rent the car, but from the airport it was a problem, so her father offered me a ride. I was just like thinking, this is crazy. My whole life I'm always like thinking I'm going to find the girl on the plane, and now I'm going out, and she's, you know, I'm not going out with her. So I didn't marry any of them. But Baruch Hashem. But the point is, yes, I married my wife. I'm very happy. Baruch Hashem. I'm none of them. So the point is that here you think, like, I might have the right person, but you're so nagei b'davar. And we fall for the most stupid things. So we have a system, Baruch Hashem. It needs tweaking. I think many gedolim hold that it needs some sort of tweaking. But in Europe, they're very, very meticulous about, like, by the time the kids are going out, they're pretty much, like, married. Chassidim, it's like they're not going out. They're just, like, meeting each other, smiling, and you're married. I was going to say something about across the street, but I'm not, Morty. The point is that we do trust our parents a little bit. Our parents look into things for us. And then if people have looked into things properly, so then it's a matter of just seeing that this is the right one. And that's because we are very picky in our society. We can't, like, totally ignore society. But to realize that most of this is really avadat is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the person to the right person, but the hishtadlus really comes from trusting in other people. A lot of people have rabbeim that they talk to, people have their parents that they're able to talk to. And to answer, Rev, I think the Brisker Rav says something along these lines, but I heard this from Rev Avram Chaim Feuerschlitte. He said like this. He said that when it comes to L'Shem Shemayim, and like you're getting married L'Shem Shemayim and all these beautiful signs, like the guy who was in Amukan davening for, you know, perfect shidduch, and then he saw like a Tehillim lying around, and he did Hashavas Aveda, and he returned it to her, and you know, everyone knows these stories. So there are some stories like that. And some of them got married, and some of them got divorced after they got married. And everything was like so, like Shem Shemayim and Hashem, right? You don't get married because this seems like so Hashem. You get married because she's what you're looking for. You get married because this is the person that stands for the things that I believe in, and it's totally irrelevant how that came about. So therefore, even if you heard a basko, Avraham Avinu heard a basko, it doesn't mean anything. Because I don't get married because I hear baskos, and I don't get married because then you tell me. The Brisker Rav says, he told him like the amazing story of how he found her and what she did. I don't care. We get married, and this girl's a good girl, and she has good midos, and Yitzchak saw that everything that Sarah had in her house came back. The candle, the bread, the cloud. He saw all the things that Sarah represented. He saw that in his wife. Now this is someone I could marry. This is someone I could love. But it's nothing to do with all the signs and all the good feelings and all of that wonderful stuff. This is just getting started. Mitzvah Shem, we will continue because we have to ask why we're not getting married right now, why we are sitting in yeshiva, how long we should take, and many other wonderful subjects. I don't know, during the year, maybe we'll get a chance to be together. But Mitzvah Shem, we should all be zeicha. Again, I think part of Chayisara Everyone's talking about Shidduchim in the different parashiyas, in the different parashiyas Shmuzin. I think it's a time to think about how we could work on ourselves, because just realize that Chas V'Shalom, things could come back to you. We don't want that ever coming back. We want it to be easy. And to realize that we have to trust our parents, we have to trust our Rebbeim, and we have to do what's right, not just what feels good. Mitzvah Hashem, we should all find our Shidduchim in the right time, and we should all shteig together. Thank you.